Now please take your Bible and turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Remember, God's word is holy, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then Herod cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. May the Lord bless the reading of His own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, your eternal word, your holy word. As the apostle wrote, as the apostle Peter wrote, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Father, without your word, we cannot grow spiritually. Feed us with your word. Even today, O Lord, may our hearts be open unto your word. May our hearts receive your word. Cause us to be teachable. Lord, may we intentionally focus upon you to receive your word. May we not be distracted. Lord, speak to us. Speak into our hearts. Convict our sins. Soften our hardened hearts, Lord. May we hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By nature, man wants to make a name for himself. By nature, man wants to make a name for himself. You know, some people hunger for glory. Some want to be popular. Some want to be famous. Some want to control others. People want to make a name for themselves. King Nebuchadnezzar was one of them. In today's text, we will examine King Nebuchadnezzar and the making of the golden statue. In the previous chapter, Daniel chapter 2, we learned that King Nebuchadnezzar had a terrifying dream. And God revealed the content and the interpretation of the king's dream to Daniel. Daniel revealed the content and the interpretation of the king's dream to the king. After hearing the interpretation, the king prostrated before Daniel. And he praised the God of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar, a powerful king, the king of the mighty Babylonian Empire, might have been shaken by the interpretation of the dream. God revealed to the king the future events that would take place. The king would have thought that he was the greatest king and his empire was the greatest empire in the world. He would not have thought that there would come successive kingdoms. And so, the dream would have shaken him and caused fear in him. Now, what should he do? Well, he devised a political strategy to safeguard his power, kingdom, and his image. And so in this chapter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, King Nebuchadnezzar developed a political strategy to exalt himself as the most powerful king and no other. Now, how did he attempt to accomplish it? He set up a golden statue. So let us examine this text and let us examine the first heading, statue. Verse 1, statue. Look at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. And its width, 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. The word set up appears at least 5 times within the first 7 verses. The word set up means erection of a building, or in this case, erection of a statue. King Nebuchadnezzar erected an image of gold. That's what we are told in verse 1. The image was not made out of bronze or silver, but gold. Not sure whether the statue was fully solid gold or just gold-plated. Would not know. Nevertheless, we are told that the statue was an image of gold. Remember, Daniel interpreted the king's dream, and in that dream, there was a statue. The head of that statue, which was made of gold, represented King Nebuchadnezzar and his empire. And now it seems that the king had replicated the dream in reality. Now the head of the statue was not only gold, but the whole statue was made of gold. And King Nebuchadnezzar did not erect a small, obscure, and insignificant statue. No. It was a huge golden statue. It was about 90 feet tall, 60 cubits, 90 feet tall. In other words, it was about 7 to 8 stories high. 7 to 8 stories high. People would be able to see this golden statue from a distance. Was the statue an image of the king? We do not know. Was it an image of some Babylonian gods? Not sure. But certainly, it was a tall golden statue. Where was this statue erected? We are told in verse 1. The plain of Dura. The plain of Shinar. Referring to Babylon. In fact, this was the place where the Old Testament people erected the Tower of Babylon. Listen to the words of the people who built the Tower of Babel, found in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Did you hear that? Let us make a name for ourselves. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted glory. See, it is the nature of man to seek glory for himself. That was exactly King Nebuchadnezzar was seeking. He was seeking glory for himself. One commentator wrote that the statues of dictators or national symbols are visual symbols of unity. I'm not quoting him verbatim, but this is what he implied. The statues of dictators or national symbols are visual symbols of unity. At one time, Mao Zedong's statues dominated in China before his death. At one time, the image of Lenin dominated throughout the Soviet Union. Anyone dared to disrespect the statues and images of the dictators would face death. The dictators instill fear in the people by erecting statues and images. The dictators united people, compelled allegiance to themselves and control them to accomplish their agenda. That was their political strategy. All these dictators were seeking glory for themselves. Now let us remember the words of the psalmist, Psalm 115, which we heard just now. Psalm 115, verse 1. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but your name give glory." That should be our attitude. We should not seek glory for ourselves, but we should seek glory for God. No human being deserves glory. Not the emperors, dictators, not even King Nebuchadnezzar. Only God deserves all glory. So why did King Nebuchadnezzar erect an image of gold similar to what he had in his dream? So we come to the second point, second heading. Worship. Verses 2 through 5. Worship. After the king had erected the statue of gold, what did he do? He gathered people to worship it. How? He planned for a dedication of the image ceremony. He sent out the word of invitation for this dedication ceremony to all the dignitaries. Whom did he invite to this dedication of the image ceremony? Look at verse 2. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Note, all the officials of the provinces were invited for the dedication of the image ceremony. So finally, all the invited people gathered before the erected golden statue, and they had to comply with the invitation because it came from the powerful king of Babylon. Who can reject his invitation? Now what happened next? Look at verses 4 and 5. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, we shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." All peoples were commanded to worship the golden statue at the playing of the music. The manner of worship was critical. They all must fall down and worship. They all must prostrate and worship the idol. This was how kings and emperors controlled their people. And here we must turn to the first two commandments. The first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Surely we should not worship other gods than the God of the Bible. Second commandment says, it comes from Exodus chapter 20 verses 4 and 5, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Here in this commandment, we have a clear instruction that we should not make a carved image and bow down to it and worship it. God clearly forbids idol worship. God forbids worshiping even man. The psalmist clearly tells whom we must worship. Psalm 95 verse 6 says, "Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." In other words, we must only worship the Creator. My friends, be careful. Even today, authorities, people, and culture may pressure you to put God in the second place. Even your family members will compel you, pressure you to put God in the second place in various forms. And you may not realize because it is so subtle And you may think, oh, my family members. Will you stand against such pressure? Will you put God first in your life? Or will you put God second in your life? God expects all of us to give all our devotion to Him alone and none other. Now going back to the passage, what would happen if one refused to worship the golden statue at the sounding of the musical instrument? So we come to the third heading, punishment, verses 6 through 7, punishment. The herald not only commanded all people present at the plain of Dura to worship the golden statue, but he also clearly stipulated the punishment if they disobeyed the king's commandment. Now what was the punishment? Look at verse 6. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. If anyone refused to prostrate and worship the golden statue, the person would be cast into the fiery furnace. This punishment is unimaginable. You know, in some cultures and religions, dead people are cremated. In other words, the dead bodies are burned to ashes on a stack of wood or in an incinerator. And here we are talking about living persons. If they refuse to worship the golden statue, they were to be cast into the fiery furnace to be burned alive. This was a horrendous punishment. For Christians, it is persecution. You know, Christians are historically persecuted for their faith, for their devotion to their God. The Apostle Paul rightly said these words to Timothy. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Mark it on your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12, because you might want to meditate on it. Yes, and all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Did you hear that? All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Isn't that true? When you want to keep the commandments of Christ, people want to persecute you. When you want to honor Christ and pray to Him in public, people want to persecute you. When the 16th century men were burned on the stake for their allegiance to Christ, and I can give you the names of some godly men who were burned at the stake. They were William Tyndale, John Huss, Thomas Cranmer, Bishop Hugh Latimer, and Bishop Nicholas Ridley. And the list goes on and goes on. These godly men, because they showed allegiance to Christ, were burned alive on the stake. They were pressured by the people and higher authorities also to give up their allegiance to Christ, but they did not bow down to those authorities. They continued to stay faithful unto Christ. Let me ask you this. If someone to erect a golden statue today and command you to worship the statue, or else face punishment in a fiery furnace, how would you respond? Will you feel pressure to put God in the second place? Will you obey man or God? Think about these questions, because you never know when you will be placed in this situation. And when that situation happens, how are you going to react? Well, today we examine this text under three headings: statue, worship, punishment. I just have a few things to say before we leave this text. Number one, idolatry. You know, in India, in the villages, I saw statues of gods or idols everywhere. In Bangkok, Thailand, I saw statues of Buddha everywhere. And I'm sure you will see statues all over the places when you visit other countries. Idolatry was not only pervasive in the period of the Old Testament and New Testament, but it is also pervasive now. So let us be clear what the scripture teaches. Let us hear the words of John, the Apostle John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. He said, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Little children, keep yourselves from idols. You know what? This is the last instruction in the book of 1 John, chapter 5. You take chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. This is the last verse. That's how he ended the book. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. It is easy to find this verse in the book of 1 John. Last verse, keep yourself from idols. The Thessalonians worshipped idols, but when they were saved, they turned from the idols to serve the living God. And the Apostle Paul commanded the Thessalonians in this way, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Today, in a very subtle manner, Christians are being compelled to worship sports, studies, jobs, money, pursuit of ambition, cars, houses, etc. In a very subtle manner, Christians are compelled to worship all these things. As they pursue the worldly things, they are compelled to miss worship. They are compelled to turn their allegiance from God to other things. Be careful. Put God first in your life and worship Him only. Second, pride. Pride. Have you thought about this question for a moment? What could have caused King Nebuchadnezzar to erect the golden statue? Yes, he wanted glory for himself. But the underlying problem was pride. Pride. Pride was the problem of the fallen angel Lucifer. And remember when Daniel had provided the content and interpretation of his dream, the king prostrated before Daniel and he praised God in this manner. Listen to this, Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of God, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." That's how King Nebuchadnezzar praised the God of Daniel. And we might think that King Nebuchadnezzar was converted, but he was not converted. His affection for God was very superficial and temporary. But then very quickly, he erected the golden statue compelling people to prostrate before it and worship it. King Nebuchadnezzar had no devotion for the God of Daniel. He wanted glory for himself. He was a proud king. The Apostle Peter reminds us that God receives the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In fact, God hates the proud. And pride leads to destruction. Listen to these wise words which come from Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction. So let us humble ourselves and ask God to give us the grace, and he will exalt us at the right time. Third, God's punishment. My friends, let us prepare ourselves to face persecution even now. If the time comes, and if you are not prepared, and you try to escape human punishment by denying God, then hear this word. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Another author said this, "Yes, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the angry God. The punishment of God can be unbearable. The punishment of God is much more terrible than the king's fiery furnace." And do you know what hell is like? Hear these words. "The worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. In other words, hell is an infinite torment of mind. Hell is an infinite torment of mind. Remember that in your mind. You know, Jesus does not want you to suffer punishment, because he suffered punishment for you. He died for your sins on the cross, and he freely pardons all who trust in him for your salvation. Have you come to know Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? And if you do not have, why not? What is stopping you from trusting Christ? My friends, listen to this. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved." Call upon Jesus. No matter who you are, you can be saved. You may think that you are the worst sinner in this whole universe, but if you cry out to Jesus, surely He will save you from your sin. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Your Word is truth, absolute truth. Lord, we heard Your Word. Teach us to apply Your Word. Help us to meditate upon Your Word. Help us to read Daniel chapter 3. And meditate upon it. Help us to live out Your Word, O God. May we not bow down to idols. May we not put You in the second place. May we always hold You as the supreme ruler over us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.